Welcome to Career Tools. Today's show, Make the Most of Your Internship, Part 2 of 2. And of course, if you haven't listened to Part 1, you may want to go back, download that, and listen to that first before going on. Otherwise, yeah, could be a little bit confusing. All right, folks, here we go. Okay, so our next major poll is choose your attitude. Now, to quote a friend of mine from Alaska, you're not doing this whole self-helpy thing, are you?
Yeah. Look, despite what people say, it's amazing to me. You can totally choose your attitude, right? We've told the story before, the elevator story. I got poked with an umbrella, and I turned to my friend after a guy poked me with an umbrella in the chest, and I said to my friend, "Man, that guy made me mad." And he said, "No, he didn't. He poked you with an umbrella. You got mad all by yourself. How you feel is your fault, and your attitude is your fault." If somebody says to you, "Why do you have such a bad attitude?" And you say, "Well, somebody else did this to me," the professional will say to you, "Well, what happened was somebody else did something to you, and you decided to have a bad attitude about it. And not just that, but to feel bad, and then to act as if you had a bad attitude about it. Because if you only felt bad and you didn't change your behavior at all, I never could have told that you felt bad." So if you're given a menial job, you have a choice to make about whether or not you're going to grouse about it or whether you're going to approach it with your best effort. It's your choice. If you grouse about it, if you complain about it, that's a choice you're making. You can argue about it all you want. You can tell us why everyone you know would grouse about getting this job. That's fine. And that means everyone you know would make the same choice as you, but it's still simply a choice. The funny mystery here is that approaching tasks with your best effort, whether they're menial or not, it seems that the task itself always seems better if you have a positive attitude toward it and you do better at the task. And quite frankly, that means it goes much more quickly. It reminds me of our friend Dan McGuire telling us a story about being a merchant seaman and learning how to scrub a deck down and wanted to be with a guy that worked super, super hard and smiled his way through it because they got more done and felt more pride at achieving more while everybody else complained because they felt like they were being punished.
Yeah. And don't make a mistake by thinking that folks don't notice. If you think the task is meaningless or menial and you go at it in a grumbling sort of way, or if you think it's a great task and you go at it with great enthusiasm and aplomb, folks are going to notice that kind of stuff. They're going to take note of it. And one of the things we said earlier is one of the benefits of an internship is you have an opportunity to start building your network. The attitude you have, the way you approach the task you engage in, is noticed by others and is going to reflect on their recommendation. So Why go all to the effort of doing an internship, having the opportunity to build all these relationships that you can then reference later on, and then have them come back and say, "Hey, I don't want to be a reference for you because I can't say anything nice," or, you know, frankly, volunteering information you'd rather not the organization you're interviewing with here, for example.
Good point. Yeah, I'll add something else as well. Here's a theme of thought that I hear from young people, and I have to say, it made me pause when I heard it because I can understand the rationale and I had to think about how to position my answer so that I could be as persuasive as possible to help them see the error of their ways. Here's what they say. "Mark, the reason I don't show a great attitude about," I'll use a really overdone example. "The reason I don't have a great attitude or I don't show that I had a great attitude about cleaning the bathrooms," which, by the way, folks, usually you won't be asked to do.
Yeah, that'd be unusual.
"The reason I don't show that..."
Makes a great story, though, so please.
Yeah. "The reason I don't show that is because I want to send a message to the company based on the kind of task they give me, what I like to do, what I'm interested in learning, and what I believe will help further my career. And so I want to be less motivated to do the bathrooms and more motivated to copy the deal deck that's going on in this investment banking opportunity internship that I have. I want to copy the numbers so I can study the numbers at night at home."
So if I grumble about this, they're less likely to give me that task in the future.
Well, here's what they would say. They're not saying they're grumbling. No. They're just saying, "Well, I'm trying to send them a message with my level of interest. I'm afraid if I tell them I love washing the bathrooms, that's what they'll make me do, and I won't learn anything." Well, look, I understand that. What you're saying is, I'm gaming the system a little bit, or I'm subtly influencing my career. Okay, fair enough. I appreciate the cleverness you're bringing to this job. You're overthinking about what various jobs mean, and you're acting as if you should have a great deal of say in your career at this point when you're in an internship. And the answer is you don't. And if your boss asks you to do X, we recommend you have a great attitude about doing X. And if you'd rather do Y, you still can have a great attitude about doing X. And your boss may be of a mind that I'm not going to let him do Y until he proves to me he's willing to do X. Now, you can soft pedal X and say, well, okay, I'll do it, and then do a lousy job, and then wonder why you didn't get Y. But your boss is probably never going to tell you that. So if you think that you're sending a message and moving your boss in a subtle direction or helping the company choose what they have you do based on your level of interest, you're probably mistaken. No one's thinking that carefully about it. And all they're really thinking is, he doesn't have a good attitude when I ask him to do something that nobody else around here ought to do other than the person who makes the least, which is the intern.
Yeah. There's generally not an expectation that we would expect to see a great attitude for this type of task, but yeah, we really don't expect a great attitude for this task, right? We expect a great attitude all the time.
Exactly. Exactly. Now look, something else too. There are people who would say, I love to race my task. If I have 1,000 envelopes of stuff and in the first hour I manage 50 of them, it's motivational for me and tempting to try to do 60 or even 70 in the next hour. Great. We encourage you to do that. Doing more in the same amount of time is always better. That's a productivity improvement. That's capacity improvement. That's why internships exist, because you don't cost a whole lot and you can add more capacity without a lot of labor cost. The only downside of that is, and a lot of you who are high D's and high I's will notice this in yourself, it doesn't save you any time at all if you stuff 70 envelopes and have to go back and restuff 20 because quality was so low. Nothing wrong with racing. Just make sure your quality goes up along with your quantity.
Right. So don't let high D's and high I's, that term, throw you. If you're interested in learning more about that, that's part of DISC. We have a bunch of podcasts on that. But if you're one of the more aggressive types, that's generally kind of D's and I's fall into that category. So don't let that term throw you. Okay, so our next point. Ask questions. I mean, don't college students like get enough opportunities to ask questions while in school? I mean, why go into an internship now and get into the job? And it seems like still be in school.
Now, first of all, I don't buy the idea that college students somehow have learned the skill of asking questions.
Well,
I don't. I think the college environment rewards students who ask intelligent questions, and the vast majority of students try to avoid asking questions, and classrooms are not set up for a lot of question asking. They're set up for learning, which is largely passive, not always, but largely passive, followed by testing, okay? But if they were going to ask questions, there's no reason to believe that the question asking skills they learned in the context of school would necessarily translate to a workplace where the context is completely different and the risk of asking a question is enormous. Now look, we're very honest when we work with clients and we ask questions when we don't understand something. We found that despite the common wisdom of let's avoid being thought dumb, the candor that others give you credit for when you ask a question about something you don't know the answer to, rather than glossing over it, pretending to know, and then finding out later, the credit you give for the candor you're showing is far greater than any negative associated with the lack of knowledge you have. So even though people think, oh, they learn how to ask questions in college, I would argue they don't. But I would argue even if they did, it doesn't matter, because people don't ask questions in their first year at work because there seems to be this idea of not really seeking success so much as avoiding failure.
Yeah.
And that means not asking any questions, because asking questions means admitting you don't know something, and not knowing something in college is equivalent in large numbers to failing.
Yeah.
And so we want people to overcome that. Now, all we can do is exhort them here, but we're telling you now, internships are your free pass to asking questions. Don't think you're going to be dinged for asking questions, because if you don't ask and then you go off half-cocked in a certain direction and it's wrong, you're going to be patted on the head and they're going to say it's okay, but privately they're going to say, why didn't you just ask a question? We've told them to ask questions. And of course, the internships tell us afterwards, well, I assumed that if I did as much work as everybody else and I asked no questions, then that would mean that I had already proven that I knew this stuff. And so therefore, right. It was
better. Yeah, you're not fooling anybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and ask them a broad range of questions. You can ask questions about the work that you're being asked to do, what it's like to work in the organization, about the organization itself, the career history, the people you're working with, what people tend to do afterwards, anything you're curious about. Here's an opportunity. For a lot of you, it'll be your first time in the professional workforce. You're not going to understand it. And so study it. And part of studying is asking questions and figuring things out. Now's the time to do it. And you're getting a lot of leeway in terms of the questions you ask.
Yeah. Now, look, there are ways to ask questions that are more effective than others. Blurting all your questions out over the first cup of coffee you have or something with somebody is not the way to do so. If you have questions about the work, ask them when you're allocated the work, when the work is assigned to you. Okay? If the person instructing you says you need the Excel file and hasn't made it clear where that file is, ask them. I'm sorry, I don't know. Where's the Excel file? Okay? In a few minutes, he'll be expecting you to do that work, and you need to have asked enough questions to understand what to do. I tell you, when I heard this, I nearly died. One of Wendy's interns, when Wendy was starting to explain how to do his first task to him, asked to her, do I have to take notes? And her answer was, if you don't think you'll remember, you need to take notes. Right? And of course, the problem with that is people say, oh, I don't think I need to remember. Then they fail and like, oop. Well, look, the great thing about an internship is you can do it on an internship. You can make that mistake and it probably won't cost you a whole lot. But folks, when your boss talks, you gotta take notes.
Take notes.
Take notes.
You won't look stupid, believe me.
Well, we talked to a guy today. We were with a client today. And a guy came in not understanding what the interview was about. And he said, I didn't know what this was about, but I brought a pen. I'm like, yeah, well, I like this guy. He's sure. New. I mean, this guy was young. He was new. And he knew. I'm not coming into a meeting without a pen.
Didn't have any paper, but that's enough.
Well, there was paper on the table, right? Yeah, he knew. Yeah.
I guess he assumed, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Look, save questions about the broader work or people's work history for more casual meetings, like going to meetings over lunch, okay? You know, we've got a cast about how to have a conversation. That's a great one to review, okay? You don't want to ask all your questions at once. You don't want people to feel like they're interrogated. If the first time they take you to lunch and you're nothing but 20 questions to them, they're going to ask you to lunch less often. You know, keep a question file so you can capture the questions you think of during the day. You know, oh, where did you go to school and why did you choose this field? Or do you see yourself staying in this field or a lot of people going to this field, right? Write those questions down. And then when you ask them, pay attention to the answers, gradually start building over time. You've got months and months and months to do this. You don't have to, we're not suggesting you get all your questions answered in the first week so you can come up with more questions. You've got a whole period of time. Ask your questions over the entire period. Now, look, as we said earlier, fight through the fear of being thought stupid for asking questions. Managers and executives know that if you ask, if it's even one question, you had to have a burning need to know because so few people ask questions, right? Having that burning need and satisfying it by asking the question is way better than not asking it and thinking you can get away with not knowing, okay? And look, one of the great skills in life is asking good questions. And how do you ask good questions? You start out by asking bad questions, okay? I learned a long time ago that when I want a yes or no question, yes or no answer, in order to come up with a clear definition of what we're talking about to define parameters and so on, I ask yes or no, and then I ask the question. It took me years to learn that if I wanted a yes or no answer, I had to say, preface, this is what I want in the question. Now, look, we're not suggesting you use that as a question, yes or no, are you going to stay here for 5 years to one of your coworkers? But it took me a long time to learn that was the way to ask certain questions. You're not going to be great at asking questions day one. That's fine. But you will learn how to ask questions if you ask more of them than someone who tries to get by without them. So don't be afraid to ask them and recognize that the asking of questions is a skill building in and of itself.
Yeah, you might as well learn to ask questions now and get some knowledge. You don't want to be the guy that's the head of the CEO of some big financial firm and go like, what are all those derivative thingies? How do they make money?
Exactly.
Derivatives? What's that?
Yeah, what are derivatives?
All right. Point number four of today's guest. Take the initiative. I've only heard that like maybe 10 million times, right?
Yeah, what is it? Forrestal said the general Forrestal. Somebody asked him how I was so successful. He says, I make it a habit of being there first with the most men. Look, things only get better when somebody steps up and takes responsibility for making things better, right? The history of business is littered with successful moments, successful synchronicities, which happened because somebody took initiative, right? And so initiative is critical. It's absolutely critical. But, and this is a big but, you probably don't know enough yet to take the initiative and be right enough to get full credit for taking the initiative. So however much you've learned in your first week, however many questions you've asked, however many notes you've taken, you don't really probably yet understand how your work is affecting the broader organization. You might think you understand why you've been asked to do something, and you might be wrong. So what we're recommending is a little different. What we recommend is here's how to take initiative while you're in an internship. Make a note, work out how to describe what you want to do and how you think it will make things easier, quicker, or better in some way. In other words, what's the value? And then ask. When we recommend an intern take initiative, we mean you think a little bit about what you're going to do and what the benefit might be, what the value proposition is, what the return is, and then you ask after that, right? And we already said, ask questions, ask questions, ask questions. So you're going to get better at asking questions very quickly, right? Don't dive in with the changes you're thinking about until you ask. Go to whoever is supervising you. Explain to them the change you want to make. Explain to them why you want to make it, how things will be better because of it. And look, often you'll be right and you're going to get to go ahead and make the change. And you're going to get credit for it too. Believe me, you'll get credit for it. And sometimes you'll be wrong. And you will have saved yourself an enormous fall down an enormous black hole because you didn't action something only to find out later that your actions were based on a false assumption. They were predicated falsely on things that simply weren't true, and you've gotten things worse rather than better.
Well, here's a great thing, though, is managers give folks two-thirds of the credit for just coming up with the idea.
Yes,
for the
sure,
just for having thought through it and coming up with an idea, even if you never get to implement it.
Exactly. You're still going to be ahead.
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll get credit for it. Yep.
Good. Okay, so now we're going to talk about something that's terribly important to me. There's two things I'd like my sons to be really good at, particularly when they get out of college. One is, look, just take 10% of everything you ever make and invest it. Just 10%.
10%.
You'll never have to worry. I mean, you won't miss it, and you'll never have to worry about money again, right? Because time at their is a big advantage, right?
Don't start by learning how to live on all your money. Start by learning how to live on 90% of it. Yeah. Because the number of people I've known who've gotten fired or gotten laid off or had their pay cut or had a period of time where they didn't have any pay, and they discovered I could live on a lot less if I really made some choices. And just living on 90% less, you don't even miss the other 10%. Yeah. And wow, does it make a difference when you're 45.
You've got time on your side, right? You've got 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years to have that money work for you, right? So that's one thing. The other thing you got is you got to start building your network, right? And again, just like money, you start building your network now when you're young, when you're just starting a career, and you leverage that over the next 10, 20, 30, or 40 years. It's huge. It's huge. But if you wait till you're 40, it's a lot.
Did we not, in the Building Your Network cast, talk about the ant and the grasshopper, the fable? Right?
I think we did.
The ant works all summer, right? And the grasshopper laughs at him. Ha, ha, ha. I'm having fun. I'm drinking beer. I'm in my fraternity, but I'm not the president. I'm not the rush chairman. I'm just having a great time. I know everybody. I'm not really staying in touch with them. But boy, I'm having a good time. Look at that guy over there.
That's a different fairy tale than I don't remember that in the ant story.
And then the grasshopper in the wintertime is starving because he hasn't put anything away from winter.
Or at least he's got no beer.
Yeah. He's got no beer. Yeah. And I think in the fable, the grasshopper dies. No, somebody will write to me and say, no, the ant took him in. I don't know. The ants probably ate the grasshopper. I don't know.
In our story.
The grasshopper gets eaten, right, by fire ants. But look, start building your network now. I would say the same thing to my kids. Gosh, save 10% of your money and start building your network now. And Facebook makes it so easy, so easy. By the way, there's another cast we want to mention. We have a cast. It's not related to internships specifically, but it's called First Day Do It Yourself, which tells you don't let somebody else do a bunch of stuff the first day. In fact, we probably told you
don't let the intern do it for you. Find out where the copier is, find out where the coffee machine is, find out where HR is, find out where finance is, do all that stuff yourself and meet people when you're doing it. Great, true for an internships as well. And that's part of building your network.
Right. And don't discount anyone from being in your network, right? We make this case about building your network as broad as possible. Now, I don't know. I didn't go to school with Bill Gates, but I'm just guessing that his classmates, before he dropped out to start this little company called Microsoft, that a lot of his classmates didn't really think of Bill as being the coolest dude on the block, right? He probably wasn't terribly cool. But can you imagine, like, having gone to school with him and, like, not have had him in your network?
Yeah.
That doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, probably one of my best friends in the entire world is a guy I lost touch with when we graduated from high school. He went to one college. I went somewhere else. I wish I'd gone to college. He had a great time. He was president of the fraternity. And now I go visit him 5-6 times a year. And if we hadn't gone to a mutual friend's wedding, you know, 5 or 10, 12 years ago, it never would have happened. And I say to myself over and over again, he's the example of somebody that it would have been so easy to stay in his network and to help him throughout his career, and he could help me throughout my career, and we'd have been even closer friends than we are now. And we would have had great times all throughout our experiences apart. And today, thanks to the free cost of long-distance calls and cell phones and so on, and Facebook and LinkedIn and so on. There's just no excuse for
it. It's just so much easier.
Yep.
Good. Okay, then what about following up? So you've been in an internship program. What about after? What if after the internship's over?
Yeah, look, we talk about following up all the time. I heard a colonel once tell me, lieutenants do two things poorly. They don't plan ahead, right? They just get started and then they don't follow up. He says, I can get over the not planning ahead thing. I can't get over not following up. Mm. Just because somebody says something's going to be done doesn't mean it's going to be done. You have to follow up. I think it's Reagan said, trust but verify. And then somebody else said something like, expect what you inspect. In other words, if you inspect something, if you follow up and see that it's done, it's going to get done, right? You can expect it to be done. If you don't inspect it, if you don't check, if you don't follow up, you don't see things through, you can't expect it to be done.
Yeah.
Right. So professionals follow up, and we have two recommendations regarding here. First is, right after your internship is confirmed, send a thank you note to the person responsible for setting it up, whomever that might be. It might be career services. It might be somebody in HR. It may be a couple of people. It may be the person you're working for, right? And nothing wrong with sending two or three notes. And you basically say thank you for the opportunity they're giving you. For the manager you're going to work for, having an intern work for him or her is actually more work. Even if you think they're just dumping their grunt work on you, they have to manage that work now. And if they don't know exactly what role you're in, they have to be particularly cautious about it. So it's more work for them, even though they may not admit that, or they might admit it over and over and over again. So they're going to put themselves out for you, and you need to show them that you appreciate that. And then the other thing is, so that's right when you start, when you first get the internship. And then again, follow up afterwards. We're not going to go over the Build Your Network cast, but you'll find our guidance in there on what to say and how often to follow up there. You know, don't think that you hated that job and you hated all the people, so it's not worth following up. People move on. Cultures change. There's no value to throwing out your network that you've already got established in some way. You just don't want to throw that network out. Follow up, touch base, be cordial, be professional. You never know how those people could help you. Or thinking even more broadly, more service-oriented, more humbly, with more humility, maybe they'll need you. And then you'll be of service to the world when somebody calls you and says, I need a favor, and you're the one that's helping somebody else. That's where real love, real success, real professionalism lies, serving other people. So wrapping up, right? We highly recommend internships. The time management skills you learn fresh out of school are very powerful. The discipline and, unfortunately, the obedience piece. Choose your attitude. It's a choice you make. You've got to ask questions. You've got to take the initiative. It's a great way to start building your network. Please follow up. And let's just say this. There are inflection points in your career. We've talked before about the 3S curves from individual contributor to manager to executive. We could make a case there's actually a fourth S curve, which is the student S curve, which is the pre-professional S curve. And internships help you bridge that gap between S curve zero, which is your pre-professional, your educational S curve, and your first professional one, which is an individual contributor. And that is an important transition. All of those S curves linking together, It's not that people don't do poorly in the middle of an S-curve. They do poorly at the top or the bottom. They can't make the jump from individual contributor to manager or manager to executive. And some students, as smart as they might be, don't make the transition from student to individual contributor, and internships reduce that risk, reduce that stress. We highly recommend them.
Excellent. Thanks, friend.
You bet, partner.
Good. We'll see you.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for this week. And we'll see you all again next week. So long.